Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Did you do your homework? Anybody want to admit that they did or didn't do their homework? Oh, well. Sister Wagner already acknowledged that she did it, so. Last week we looked at Joseph. Looking at him as poor Joseph in the terms of the shocking news that came to him. And God did not consult with Joseph to gain his approval before acting. He only drafted him into this difficult position. How willing are we to be used by God in such a way? Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading tonight with verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn child, son, and called him, till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Quit reading, was trying to go by memory, I guess, and my mind wasn't with it. Poor Joseph, and we ended with wow, Joseph. Change in our perspective as we realized what he did and how he handled it. This particular scripture labels Joseph as being a just man. Now, some of the translators would use the word righteous instead of just. So we can look at Joseph here not as poor Joseph, but we can see him as righteous Joseph. What a commentary. What a biography. For someone else to write about him, calling him a just man or righteous Joseph. In all of life's circumstances, in all of life's actions, can somebody who's writing about us use those words? Could somebody writing about me, could they use, he was a righteous man or a just man? Now, if we look strictly at the passage that's been read here, and we really don't know a whole lot other than this about Joseph. Scripture doesn't give us a whole lot of detail about him. But the writer here doesn't even write in terms of relationship or his relationship with God to prove that he is righteous. Matthew does not tell us of Joseph's practice on tithe, as important as that is. Matthew doesn't even go into any detail of his faithfulness in giving alms or offerings. Surely those things are important. He doesn't tell us about his church attendance record for the year. How many times was he there? How many times was he late? How many times did he not go? We don't see that. That's not a portion here. We're not finding Matthew talking about Joseph as a righteous man in terms of his relationship with God. He doesn't tell us how many prayers he prayed. He doesn't even tell us if he was a listener or if he adhered to the Pharisees' rules. We don't see any of that. We do not see Joseph as a righteous man portrayed through his relationship with God, but rather we see him demonstrating what true righteousness is and how it looks through his actions in terms of his relationship with Mary. Now we could look at that narrowly as the relationship with his spouse, or we could look at it in a more broad sense, the broader picture, and realize or see it as a picture of his relationship with mankind, his fellow creation, his fellow mankind. It's not, I don't believe that we ought to look at it as a narrow picture, but as a more broad picture. But you can look at it either way. I mentioned last week that these thoughts were coming to me from a man by the name of Ray Hollenbach. And he said that he did not want to expose her to a public disgrace, but he was willing to take care of things privately. That's all we really see, but we notice that he is being portrayed here as a righteous man, and all that we see about his righteousness is based on his relationship with people, other people. How many of us would have that priority? How many of us would have that kind of a thought that would be our priority? It's not that true righteousness does not extend heavenward. It's not that it's limited to our relationship with man. But visible in our relationships with God should be our relationship with one another. I suppose it's easy for us to understand what our relationship with God would be. The visible parts of our relationship with God would be acts of obedience to Him. But that's not the extent of our relationship with God, because our relationship with God then also extends to our relationship toward our fellow man. Being a righteous person has two different directives. And we see that Matthew is portraying Joseph as righteous based upon his relationship with Mary. Poor old Joseph, drafted into a difficult situation without his approval. But through it, we see a picture of righteous living. Through it, we recognize that Joseph was a righteous man by his example. Once again, I find this to be incredible for us. Righteous living. As we look at the picture of Joseph being a righteous or a just man, we then also see Joseph in another light. We see Joseph as a steady Joseph. That's what we need in this world, steady people. I think Emily referred to that when she was introducing the second song that we sang tonight. We have an anchor. We have an anchor. The world may not know that anchor. And what God needs today is for other people who know Him as the anchor to also find themselves to be steady, just like Joseph was steady. You say, well, what do you mean? How can you see that? Well, you look at what's taking place here and you'll realize that Joseph resisted the urge to move or to act rashly. Now, he was planning, when he found out this tremendously bad news, he was planning to do something about it. Even in the midst of the concern that he had for Mary, he was still planning on divorce, which was completely lawful for him. It was completely acceptable. Now, when we study it out, we realize that the bottom line was that Mary was to die under these circumstances. And whoever did it was supposed to die under these circumstances. Joseph, in his concern for her, did not just simply say, well, I accept the whole thing. I accept the picture. We'll take care of it. We'll do it privately. We'll just work our way through. But Joseph was still thinking, I'm going to divorce her, but how can I do it so that I do not destroy her? It was a tough thing. He was going to break off this engagement. But verse 20 tells us that he took time to think it through. We don't know how much time. We don't know how long he was taking to consider his actions. But we do see in verse 20 that he was thinking. But while he thought on these things, it might be interesting to know how long it was, if it was just a few hours, if it was a couple of days. It couldn't have been very long, because it only takes 9 months for a baby to come. So we know that it was less than that, quite a bit less than that probably. But he took some time. He was steady. And during this time of consideration, now I'm going to read between the lines here, but follow me for a little bit as we look at it to show how steady he was and the actions that he took in this procedure, in the process of his working through it. We can see that while he thought on these things, he placed himself in a position so that God could speak to him. I believe that that's important for us. Because we can get so caught up in our issues, as good as they may be, as right as they may be, to hear from heaven, we must put ourselves in the position. That's one of the reasons why the old timers, yesteryear, so strongly talked about taking the means of grace, which included church attendance. Oh boy, I'm getting off on a hobby horse here, aren't I? But you see, if we are slack or relaxed in our attendance to the means of grace, whether it's church attendance, Bible reading, prayer, whatever it may be that's considered the means of grace, if we are relaxed in those areas, then we are removing a portion of the possibility of God speaking to us. But Joseph, somehow, somewhere along the line, we find that while he thought on these things, he was placing himself in a position to hear from God. How do I know that? Because God spoke to him. That's simple enough. There's nothing profound about it. I don't have to read very far between the lines to realize that Joseph, while he thought on these things, God came to him and spoke to him. Perhaps it's through this particular picture, through this avenue, that we have another vision of his relationship with God being revealed. Not just his relationship with Mary or people, but we see that his relationship with God is vital too, because God was able to come to him and speak to him. And the narrative then shows us another glimpse of Joseph as another dreaming Joseph. Not the Old Testament dreamer, but the New Testament Joseph as a dreamer. Hollenbach said that God speaks in a most unusual manner. I'm glad I read that. I mean, for myself. It may not be necessary for you, but it is for me, because if I have to consider my dreams as God-breathed rather than pizza-breathed, we may be in trouble. I may be in trouble. Have you ever had dreams that you're glad was not God-breathed? Some dreams are just, you know, I'm glad that it's easy for us, or it's good for us to consider that God uses dreams as an unusual means of imputing direction, or giving divine direction. But one thing that we know about this particular dream is that it changed the life of Joseph, and it changed his life forever. Surely it reveals to us that Joseph was a righteous man, for God came to him and shared with him his plans through this means of dreams. Knowing that Joseph would receive it. Did Joseph accept it? Did Joseph do anything with it? Well, surely we see that Joseph recognized this dream as a clear directive from God. And this one dream, however long it took for this dream to unfold, it's just a few verses. It's not very long, just a few words. We don't really know how long the dream was, but this one dream sustained Joseph through months of preparation. We don't have any other record that Joseph ever heard from God again the whole time this was taking place. He carried what this dream portrayed to him and what God communicated to him through this dream. He carried it. At least we don't have any other record. He carried it for the rest of this term of pregnancy and fulfilled his role of calling the name of the child. The dreamer was steady. He was righteous. He remained faithful to God's instruction. That's a profound phrase, a profound thought, that he remained faithful to God's instruction based on this one dream. Poor Joseph turned into wild Joseph, as we see how wonderful of a picture it was that took place for in his life. And then we see that Joseph was also righteous. He was steady. He was a dreamer, or he was dreaming, and God spoke to him in that dream. He heard from God. What a picture that we see of this man who was to fill the role of Christ's earthly father. We focus so much on Mary, and we see so much on Mary, about Mary, and yet we have to realize that God brought the two of them together, and there were some very distinct and important things about this man's life that God was wanting to have depicted to us so that we can see the character of the man. And something for us to pattern. No, we don't have to pattern after the poor Joseph thing, but we can pattern after the wow. Being used of God without his approval, or without our approval, I mean. We can't allow him to work things in our life without asking us if it's okay. That when God does something, we will accept his plan and accept his direction. And that in the midst of it, we can be called righteous. And in the midst of it, we can be called steady or steadfast. And in the midst of it, we place ourselves in the position to hear God's voice. Please don't go out of here and say that we need to listen to our dreams and obey our dreams. I think for a lot of us, perhaps that would be frightening. But what we can take out of it is that we put ourselves in the position to hear from God, to hear His voice, whatever means He chooses. Joseph, so little we know about him, and yet what we do know, what we see from him, we can realize what a great man he was. It's not something that he wrote about himself, but it's what God shares with us about him. Can somebody write that about me? May it be so. Let's stand together tonight. Go and join the Christmas season, celebrating the coming of the Christ child. Lord willing, we'll see you again on Wednesday. Tommy, would you dismiss us in prayer?